Welcome to Catching Alphas, the podcast for everything fishing. We are brought to you by ctfishguides.com, Connecticut's premier guide service. We are also brought to you today by farmingtonflies.com, your online fly shop specializing in custom flies that are guide tested and fish approved. Follow us on Instagram at @farmington_flies, @ctfishguides, and @catchingalphas_podcast. We are on Facebook and Twitter as CT Fish Guides. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, CT Fish Guides, for fly tying tutorials, knot tying, and fishing tips.
Hey Steve, it's been a while. White beard, last I saw you.
Let me tell you, it's kind of funny posting pictures, you know, especially the memories of 10 years ago. People are like, holy shit, like.
How old are you now?
I'm like, yeah, 10 years will do a whole lot to you, you know.
So, Steve, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself for those people living under a rock and don't know who Steve Uchuk and Envision Flyworks is?
So listen, I'm just a guy that loves the fish. I do love trout. I like any species though. I do love, you know, pike, crappie. I love all kinds of different species, but you know, one of my main things is I love the mouse. I love to, you know, throw rodents at night, get out there by myself or, you know, with guys who love the same kind of, you know, mojo. And sometimes, you know, you don't get home to, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning and you get some nice predator fish or some nice pike, some nice trout, and you get it done, you know.
Right on. So, you know, first, I think I ran into you at one of the shows way back when. And that was back like when your handle was Steelhead Steve. So you've done a lot of Great Lakes fishing, right?
No, I have. I mean, I've been fishing the Great Lakes since I've been like 13 years old. My older brother who passed away got me into it. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm 47 now. So years and years ago when I got into it, you know, It was a totally different game than it is now, but I will tell you a little bit of background on me. Like, my brother and I went up there, and we went specifically for, you know, kings and cohos and stuff like that, and it was great. I loved it. But at some point, Pulaski was a totally different town, and it's funny because I reminisce about Pulaski a lot. I actually was telling the guys I work with now, you know, It was a crazy town. Like, you would go up to Pulaski, and I remember, I mean, it's kind of, maybe it's sad to say, I'm not too sure, but, you know, you would, like, kind of walk out onto the streets of Pulaski, and it was like a Western town. Like, there would be people fighting, and it was a totally different kind of thing. And I remember going into the shops and seeing these big brown trout, like, you know, mounts and all this crazy stuff on the walls and pictures. And I'd be like, hey, I don't catch these on a salmon river, you know, like kind of what's going on, you know, like, where do you get these big browns? Where do you get these like big domestic rainbows? And I mean, years and years ago, and these guys would not let you in on any information. And then, you know, I did tons of research, totally different ball game, no social media. I was reading books, going in topo maps, and just looking at these creeks that would run into Lake Ontario, you know, doing the real work. You know, today it's just given. Like, it's kind of sickening almost, but it's all right. But, you know, so I remember, I'll never forget it. My brother got me into the fish and the kings and the cohos and stuff like that. And then we saw these fish, and I was like, hey, Brian, I was like, listen, let's go try something different. Let's go fish some of these creeks at different times of the years and, this and that. And it worked out really, really well. I'll never forget. We hit this one particular creek, and I mean, the browns that we caught in the first half an hour of light was amazing. And it's, all fly rods. And that kind of changed me forever. Like, I kind of got away from the kings and the cohos and chasing steelhead browns, and I've been doing it for years. And I mean, honestly, there's probably not a creek that I haven't fished around Lake Ontario. I fish Canada all the time. I fish New York. I go Ohio, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I go into Wisconsin, and I'm all over the place. But the thing is I like to, I hunt fish. Like, I just don't go to a place because that's where people say the fish are, or the fish are biting. I've done my own research over the years, and I travel. I put a lot of miles on my, feet, my truck, and I go where the fish are. And people, it's kind of funny. I love when people leave me messages and stuff, like, damn, man, like, you catch a lot of big fish, or you do this and you do that. It's like, because I hunt. Like, you put your time in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you with your local fishing or your out of state fishing or long range fishing, let's say. I mean, you just put your time in, and you get it done. Same, I'm sure, on the Farmington too. You got hours and hours and days and weeks and months, like, in time invested into it, and you figure it out.
Yeah, well, some things that you said that kind of struck a chord. We would have to drive like a good 7 hours to go after some of the browns that you're talking about, and those lake run browns. And we had to put
No,
in
I
a
know. Hey,
lot of
listen,
time.
the funny thing is,
And
social media is kind of cool, because I remember watching you guys put it. I saw the time that you guys put in on social media too. Like, I already been there. I done it. I watched you guys put it in. You and Tom and all those guys. Like, hey, it's a lot of time, a lot of money. It's an investment, but when you figure it out, like, the returns are absolutely amazing, and
It is. It's funny though, like with the younger crowd, it's like if you're always hunting for reports and networking, you're never going to be able to
no.
figure out anything on your own. I feel like, like you if you put in the work and find out one thing, you can apply that to other creeks throughout, that lake, that system. But if you're always just a report chaser, that's you're going to be completely dependent on that. And that's what I try to stress to young guys is like networking's good to a point, but you gotta put in your time, otherwise you're never gonna
Oh,
understand why,
yeah, no.
like why is it true?
Hey, listen, I have this conversation with everybody I know. Like, pretty much everybody I know, or tight network of friends. And today, like, it just seems like there's way too much, held out there on a fucking silver spoon. And the as you know, like, you fish, you put in your time. And for me, I mean, long before social media, I mean, I was 13. We were talking years and years ago. Like, I put my time in. Like, there was no such thing. Like, I read books. Like, this is my library. Like, I got an extensive library on the Great Lakes, and I, put in my time. I spent my money driving, and tons of money, and gas money, and it's great. I mean, I fished myself from the Black River all the way over to Wisconsin, and I know a lot of creeks. And I fished a lot of Canada. There's not, like I said, there's not too many creeks I haven't fished in Ontario, and I'm not trying to be cocky or whatever you want to say, but it's amazing. I fish, like, Superior, Huron, like, Georgian Bay, like, Owen Sound. Like, I've been all over the place, and thank God I was able to do it when I was young. Now I have a child and a wife and the whole nine, and I still do a whole lot of fishing. But
where's your favorite area, Steve, for the Great Lakes of all the ones you've fished? You got a favorite? And I'm not asking you to name specific streams, but like,
well, and honestly, Tori, like, it's probably one of the most, and this is sad to say, I guess, maybe, well, it's one of the most popular creeks on Lake Ontario in New York State. I post pictures all the time from there. Some people know where it's at, some people don't, but it's the closest creek to me. I fish it quite a bit, and it never lets me down. And it's probably the most pressured small creek in all of New York State.
Yeah, I think
and it never lets me down. Like, I can go there. There could be guys standing in my favorite little, we're talking little pools, but you have to know how to fish it. You know, I don't have to show up till, I can show up at 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to be there first light. And I just go about my business. I fish a lot of fast water. I fish a lot of places that no one else, there's no one there. I just roll up. I go, yep, I'm going to get it done. Go to my, when I say this big, like a little nook and cranny, and I know there's going to be a fish in there, guys will watch me fish it, and they probably, I know, they go to themselves, they go, this guy, what is this guy doing? He ain't gonna catch nothing. And I'm telling you what, within two casts, I have a fish on it legitly took, and they're like mind blown. And it's funny because I can go back there, I could see the same guys, and they're not doing what I do. Like, they're still stuck in a hole, and I'm fishing this little nook and cranny, and I'll see them guy be like, hey guys, what's up? I hook up instantly.
So you move around a lot. You cover water. You hit spots. You're in. You're out.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, listen. First of all, all the guys I take with me, and at this point, this day and age, I have my clientele. I take them. We just do our thing, and it's all about. Like, I swear, like, everybody's got their own opinions, but I will say I do love, Smith Optics. I do love, like, the amber lenses, I can walk up a creek. I can see a fish a mile away. I do a lot of sight fishing, and I'm not talking about snagging. I'm talking about doing a lot of sight fishing. Like, right. I will pass, I will fish to a fish. If he doesn't take, I move on. I don't stick it in the side of his head. I just, fish, keep going. Actually, this year, it's been a long time coming. I had a group of guys that wanted to go fish Erie. This is just recently in the last week or so. I had a fly show up in Buffalo. And, we went over to some Erie tribs, and it was I knew it was going to be good just because, you learn these things, conditions and water quality and, turbulence and clarity and all that stuff. And, we went over there and I knew it was going to be a field day and we had a great time. We hit it perfect. And some of these guys that fished with me on the Lake Ontario tribs, they were mind boggled. They were like, oh my God, this is like, a totally different, kind of game. You're fishing over shell, you're not fishing over like kind of like freestone muddy kind of stuff, and I got them on some fish and I fished myself as well. And it's just fish after fish after fish, you just put on all your homework over the years and you just know what's going to happen, like we had a great time. It was a fun time. I haven't been down to Erie in a long time, but.
Erie trip. Yeah. So like, for folks that aren't familiar, Erie, especially steelhead, you can get high numbers.
Yeah. You can do 30-40 fish in a day. Or you hook up, let's say, 30-40 fish. But, and you say that, people are like, oh, my God, like you're snagging them or you're doing this and that. It's like, no, it's like when you hit it perfect and the water quality is money, like, I like to fish it on the drop. I like to fish it when it's starting to clear. I mean, you can fish it on the rise too, but to me, it's more consistent when it's, on the drop from some dirty, it's not even dirty, it's just, colored up water. But when you get that perfect clarity, and you can have a day when you're fishing in the morning, some streamers or, some white depths to, fishing blood dots to, nymphs in the afternoon. And it can be a really fun time. It's a little bit of a challenge, but once you figure out that challenge, I'm not going to say it's guaranteed, but it's a real good time.
Right on. Yeah, it's one thing that you mentioned, sight nymphing fish and, not actually hooking, getting fish to eat and not just coming into contact with it. I do see like a lot of people nymph like super heavy up there. Like I mean, I'm not saying I'm a pro at it because I don't live close enough, but I found myself nymphing a lot lighter than a lot of people around me and having pretty good
Yeah, honestly,
success with it.
it's kind of
So
funny because, I started
that was
out going
always.
to, like, I'm not going to lie, listen, I used to use a lot of weight and this and that, but I mean, over the last 10 years, like, I barely use any weight. Like, and I listen, I egg a lot. I use less. It's a crazy fishery, honestly. Like, if you understand it, you can get these. You can go up there at any time and catch fish. It's amazing. Like the browns, during the fall, it's like a it's one kind of fishery. In the spring, it's totally different. Like for me, fishing the spring fishery to fish that have held over or they're starting to drop back, it's like fishing the Delaware. I throw streamers with like maybe an intermediate line or no weight at all. I strip streamers back. And you will hit these fish. They're absolutely amazing. Like people could not even tell you if it's a local fish or if it's a Lake Ontario fish, honestly. Like they're so clean, they're beautiful, they're thinned out, they're not as fat, but people have no clue. Like I could post a picture and they're like, oh my God, that's like a beautiful resident trout. And you're like, well, I'm not gonna say anything, honestly. Like maybe if you ask me, like personal on a message, I'll tell you where it's at. Or well, I'll give you a clue. But a lot of people comment, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of funny. Like that's like I'm like Ontario fish, or that's a resident fish. But honestly, the other thing too is with the New York State regs too. Like I can fish a lot of water that I never was able to fish back in the day. Opens up a whole nother category of fish, and I catch fish in New York, locally, and people think I'm catching them out of Lake Ontario, and I'm like, nope, like I'm not gonna tell you anything, but I'm catching fish that are only an hour away from my house and are absolutely humongous. But it's all about having that that clue and going for it. You got to put a lot of time in. And so, some of these guys, like we were talking about, sorry, I'm probably blowing you up a little bit, but, or, just, I talk a lot once you get me going, but a lot of these guys, social media, like social media has made a lot of heroes out of somebody that's nothing. And this is my main complaint. Like I have fished for a very long time. I put many of hours in. I don't leech off of other people for the most part. If we're friends, we're friends. We fish. I show you stuff. You show me stuff, and I try not to blow anything up. Maybe back in the younger years of me, I did blow up the Great Lakes a little bit, but that's before I knew the damage that could be done. And since then, I've realized better than that. So. It's just crazy. Like I see guys posting pictures and stuff. I'm like, some of these guys, I'm like, they have no idea what they're even talking about, like on a fishery. Like I spent my life there and they fish it once and they think they know it, or they catch a big fish and people are like, my God.
Totally, man. Totally. Totally. It's like anybody, you know, with a large following on social media can put something out there. And, you know, if it looks good, you know, they're going to get a lot of perception from people that don't know or, you know, are new to the sport. And yeah, you get a lot of posers. So it comes down to it. It happens. But, you know, like you said, like even when you were young and you maybe extorted the Great Lakes fisheries, like we were all young.
I definitely did. And honestly, I feel pretty shitty about it. But it did give me some connections, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, though? Like, we all kind of did. It was just when we were younger, you know, for me, saltwater, it's like you might have burned something. You burn a saltwater spot. You tell the wrong guy, he tells two guys, and you ruin a spot. You know, and now it's just amplified with social media so much more. So we've all been there at a young age where we just didn't know. And we always had older guys telling us the right path and what to do and what not to do. And that's what got us to be Sharpies or whatever, you know, is following them. So I do try with the younger gen to, like, kind of, you know, give my two cents without offending people, just to try to help them out and not burn too much stuff. But it's just on such a greater scale these days.
I mean,
because
I don't know when you started fishing the Great Lakes, but I've been fishing it for a very long time. And I remember watching, like, you and Tom and you guys, you know, go up into that area and start really figuring it out, fishing with guys that know what they're doing and beating it up a little bit. And that's all good. And, I mean, that's totally fine. And, you know, I think we did it the right way, but, you know, these guys with the whole social media thing where they start to, like, really, you know, eat you off the system.
Yeah. And even that unknowingly back in the day, putting videos up, that doesn't help anything either, you know?
When I see you guys doing it, I watch you guys do it, and I was like, damn, these guys are, you know, you guys are, you know, you also figured some stuff out on your own, though, too. Like, now, today, it's like everything is fed to people on a silver spoon, you know? Back in the day, you got to figure it out, or, you know, like I said, like with you guys, I enjoyed watching you guys grow in the Great Lakes. You know, and like, it'd be like if I came up to the Farmington and fished with you, you know, like, I'm going to learn a whole lot real quick. Like, it's going to be a fun time, you know, like, but.
Yeah, we had a group of guys that have been going up for years and years and years and years. So it wasn't just even our crew. It was crews that had been going up there for.
But you've learned off of each other. Yeah, you know, like, and I actually enjoy watching that, you know, and, you know, like, same thing with the guys I take up there, you know, they learn and they do this and they share with some friends, or, you know, next thing you know, you got an extra guy coming up with you, but it's not like this, like, online social media thing, like just sucking for information, like, and then, you know, I mean, listen, I love posting pictures. I love sharing the fish that I catch. I absolutely, truly enjoy. I try to treat them as best as I can. Yes, listen, everybody loves a hero shot. Pick them up, get a quick shot, maybe get a couple quick shots, or, you know, you got this, like, you know, take five kind of thing. You hit it, or in your phone takes all this stuff, a video and three pictures and this and that. And that's actually really cool, because you just hit that thing and you get, like, multiple pictures of this beautiful fish, and then you can let it go. And, you know, it's on its way. It's healthy. It swims away. And, you know, I mean, I kind of love that thing, but I mean, I see some really, really negative stuff as well, you know? So,
yeah. Such a double-edged sword. I mean, how does that translate into the night fishing for you guys? Because I mean, where we are on the Farmington, it's so highly pressured. I'd been night fishing there for over
years. I think I'm kind of in the same boat with you as well. Like, as far as night fishing goes locally, I mean, I've been night fishing for a very long time. I'm sure as you know, I love tying rodent patterns. I've got my mice boxes, rodent boxes are like crazy looking. I try stuff all the time. I try new stuff. You know, I have, I have a select few dudes, of course, that I trust, and we do some pretty awesome stuff. We do some crazy floats, like stuff that the average person, even these guys that are looking for some like Instagram, you know, fame, like they're not willing to do, but my friends and I, so we go out and grab a 6-pack or maybe a 12-pack and some monsters and we're ready to go. You know, we just go out all night long. Like I'll be out there till 5-6 in the morning, get home. I basically drive straight to work, go to work, and you know, probably chances are two nights later I'm doing the same thing. You know, a lot of my rodent patterns are truly tried and tested. Like I've got tons of guys fishing them all over the world globally. They have caught fish, you know, all over the place, which is absolutely awesome to me. You know, and then on my local systems, you know, the Delaware or anywhere's in between, like, I mean, I fish a lot of PA, I fish a lot of, you know, down here too, where I am in Southern New York. Of course, I go back up and beat up my stopping grounds in the Catskills. And I mean, it's great. I mean, it's fun. There's nothing better than actually being, being a tire. I love it because I can tweak, I can do whatever I want with the flies that I tie, you know, to improve them to my liking, you know, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, just like in general, I can tweak a fly to, you know, exactly where I fish and it works amazingly. And, you know, then people hit me up and, you know, I'll tweak stuff. It's just fun being a tire because you're just able to do whatever you want.
Totally. Yeah. You're not, you know, if you're not a tire, you're buying patterns that were meant to be sold across a broad area, because as a businessman, that's the smart thing to do, is to be able to catalog your fly across the whole country. But to really customize to your fishery is an extreme advantage. Especially when you're hunting, when you're doing the kind of fishing that you were describing, you like to hunt. That's part of the hunt, is bringing it back home and being like, okay, what am I doing here? And then going out. And, you know, is being out, like you're saying, a lot of guys probably, you know, wouldn't even go out and fish some of the places you're fishing and do some of the stuff you're doing. It's, well, you put so much time in at night, you probably feel at home on the water at night, or a lot of people, they get
I do. I'm like a night owl. I like to go out. I like to grab a burger and a beer, and then I'm out. I'm either out by myself or I'm out with guys who like to do, you know, something similar. I float stuff that no one else is going to float, I probably shouldn't even say that, because that just drags in a bunch of different people who maybe got, you know, some balls of steel to do, you know, what I'm doing. But like I said, you know, I'm all over the place too. Like, I'm just not in one area. Like, I love the Catskills, but I mean, I'm all over, you know, Central New York, Western New York, like, and, you know, I mean, it's great. Like, I got pictures I will never share with many people, but some of the trout that I've caught, especially mousing at night, are insane. It's just fun. One of the biggest gratifying things is when people hit me up, they're like, hey, I caught my personal best brown at night on your mouse. Or, you know, even if they're like, hey, you know, I'm looking kind of for a custom mouse, like, you know, I want this or that. You know, I love fly design. I got, you know, a ton of flies with Montana Fly, and you know, I continue to, you know, design stuff, you know, that surgical tubing stinger tail. to me that in the way of mousing, this is just my opinion, that tail is absolutely amazing. It if a fish takes the main hook, the stinger doesn't foul hook fish in the eyeballs. That little surgical tubing keeps it away from their eyes, keeps them safe. And at the same time, when they do take it, you got them. Like I've been working on that for years. Like most people don't realize how many years goes into, design of a fly, like, and I, the evolution just keeps going. Like, I mean, I go to sleep and as I'm sleeping, I will wake up and I'm like, oh my God, like I either got to go tie a fly on a vise or I have a log that I just draw drawings and label stuff and
You ever
I mean,
really
some nights I just don't sleep because I'm sure you know Tori too. Like you're like, ah, dude, I got to tie this up right now. Like this is the big hitter right here. And I mean, in the whole grand scheme of evolution, it's gonna work. Like there's no question in your mind. You're like, okay, this is gonna get the next big one. I don't know. It's the addiction. It's the fishing addiction. It's the tying addiction. It gets you that next big fish. Like,
when if people want to get your patterns, obviously, you said they're cataloged, with what did you
yeah,
say, it was
Montana
Montana
fly,
Fly.
but also you. I mean,
What if you take first orders through, like, if somebody wanted something, what's the best way for them to put orders in,
at
like
this point,
message you?
like I just do stuff. Like, of course, I always sell myself. Like, listen, I'm not like, technology savvy. I'm like, I'm gonna come up with a web page, all this stuff. But for the best thing you could do is just hit me up on social media. And of course, Montana flies or commercial tide flies. If you're going through me, it's American tide flies, let's say. And quality's better, and I can do whatever you want,
Does it drive you nuts when people just on Instagram tie a fly and just like put it up without any kind of, research, like actually putting up a fly, testing it out? Like I feel like there's a lot of that that goes around with fly developers. They just come up with a pattern and they name it and spit it up there, and there's no actual development that went into it. I mean, like you said, that surgical
That
hook.
stinger, I'll tell you what, that stinger hook, you can't beat. Like, to me, it's the best on the market.
And that took years of
And,
people
well, yeah,
developing
and
these
just
things.
learning materials too. Like, I mean, listen, if somebody would have said, hey, Steve, just run your stinger through a piece of surgical tubing and this particular type of surgical tubing, I would have been like, oh my God, that's like amazing. But I mean, honestly, like, I started running it through. I used to buy paracord. I would pull the core out of paracord, and then I would run my stingers through paracord, and it worked great, but it wasn't perfect. And then I don't know how. I don't even remember what made me go, hey, Steve, this surgery. I mean, I had a. Maybe I was in the hospital getting an IV. I don't know, but I was like, "Oh my God, this surgical tubing is like some cool stuff," And then I ordered all kinds of little pieces, samples of it, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is where it's at!" Like, and I started tying some mice and ways to tie it in, and just different techniques. Like, yeah, when I don't know, like I went to school for commercial art and photography, right? And of course that didn't work out for me. Like it's I started rebuilding airplanes and aircrafts, became an A&P, totally different kind of game. And then at some point, like as time flies at my house, and I was like, oh wow, I was like, this is where that whole commercial art kind of thing came, comes into plan. Like I don't know, maybe it wasn't worth me going to college or not, but I mean, when it comes to fly tying design, like I kind of taught it myself. I had some definitely inspiration from some cool tires and people with great ideas. But in general, you know, when I sit here at my desk by myself and I just, you know, tie stuff up and have fun. And listen, I will put flies out there on social media too that have not been hardcore tested, but they're just, you know, I'll put ideas out there. Like my thing is like, I'm a kind of like a big foam guy. Like I can carve anything out of foam. I can laminate foam. I can, you know, do all kinds of stuff. Like a lot of guys, like you do it with deer hair, I do it with foam. You know, wedge head, you know, streamers and stuff like that. Like I love to use foam. And you know, my thing is it comes down to weighting, like, you know, keeling. Like these are things that most people don't think about. Like, and sometimes it takes me a little bit of while to, you know, figure out. Like the one mouse pattern, the pig dog. That's like it. I don't even know why it took me so long. Like I'm a pretty good guy when it comes to getting flies to swim right or the way I want, or you know, hooks down. You know, like the way they're meant. The way they're supposed to swim, you know? And for whatever reason, it took me a little bit.
Right.
And then just one day, I was like, holy shit, Steve. Like, I tied that fly 2 years ago. I pulled it back out. And I said, dude, you're a dumbass. Like, all you got to do is weight it like this. The next thing I know, I got this fly that's absolutely putting fish in the net like all night long. And I was like, holy smokes. How could I miss that? Like, I love, you know, weighting flies properly and putting in the time and stuff. But for that particular fly, it took me, I don't know, a little bit of extra time to figure out for some reason. I was like, holy shit. But once I figured it out, all my friends are using it. Guides all over the place are using it. And they're like, dude, this fly, you know, it absolutely does magic wonders at night. I'm like, that's perfect. But, you know, I mean, and like I said, like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, I type patterns, I just put them out there, let people, it's all about the idea. Like, here's an idea. If you can do whatever you want with it, I'm gonna, you know, proceed to work on it to, you know, where I get the results that I want out of it. But the idea is out there. Some people, you know, I mean, a lot of people hit me up and are like, hey, how do you tie this fly? I have no problem sharing with you. I will tell you absolutely everything. And you can tie it up. Hopefully, you go out, you have the same results as me. And they're like, oh my God, like, you know, like, you're a nice guy. Like, I can't believe you actually shared, like, how you weight this or do that. And I'm like, it's what it's about, man. It's about pushing the sport, pushing the, you know, the craft of fly tying. And they're like, well, you know, I hit up other people and they won't share anything with me. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I just want to get the, you know, plenty of guys share with me too. Some guys don't share, like, but it's all about pushing the sport, pushing the hobby, the craft, whatever you want to call it. It's all fun.
Yep, for sure.
Steve, you know, people who know who you are,
Sure.
probably some of the people know you from back in the day as Steelhead Steve, you know. I think to this day I still refer to you as Steelhead Steve when your name comes up. You know, in recent years you're probably more known for your mouse patterns, especially some of those crazy, was it the Emperor Mouse? That really
Yeah.
super, well, I mean, for those of you who haven't seen it from above a few feet, it looks like a real mouse swimming in the water. It's absolutely insane. You're probably better known for that kind of stuff nowadays, I would say, on social media. And I don't know if you plugged yourself, but if people didn't catch it, his Instagram is Envision Flyworks, and definitely worth giving him a follow for just some really cool flies and some big fish pictures. I've known you going way back, I think, because of probably George, right? I think that was
Yeah.
our. Yeah.
Wait. Listen, you and I have known each other for a long time. But yeah,
Yeah.
George is definitely our prior introduction.
Yeah. I know you and I have compared notes on steelhead and what we do during the day, like when fish get beat up during the day. and stuff like that. In fact, you know, a lot of the people listening here, they're pretty intent anglers, and they're always looking for ways to up the game. Maybe we should talk about some of the stuff you do when you're fishing over pressured fish, whether that be, you know, lake run steelhead, lake, you know, browns, or even just your local trout stream, some of the stuff you do, because, you know, you guys are talking about social media, and that's, you know, part of the problem. COVID, social media, all of that is increasing pressure on the resources. So maybe that would be an interesting topic to go into. And, you know, we can talk about some of the stuff you do. I know you and I had talked about during the day with steelhead, we'd start with heavier tippet in the morning. And once they got beat on, you know, you might start with like 1X or like 10 pound. And, you know, by the afternoon, you're down to like 6 pound or like 3X.
Or 4 pound or you know, especially, you know, this time of year, like super small black stones, like, you know, stones from anywhere from 14 to honestly like 22s. Like, it all depends on what's going on. But,
you know, fish or resident trout here on the little tiny stuff?
Well, actually, either or. But, I mean, if you want to talk like steelhead, you know, the problem with steelhead is that you're fishing like some really crazy, you know, small stones on light tippet. And it's being able to control them on that light tippet. Sometimes it works out in your favor, sometimes it doesn't. But, I mean, you can honestly go from, you know, if you're, let's say you're having a slow day and you drop down to 4 pound tip, you know, you're fishing 8 pound tippet. I mean, you could go to 6, you go to 4, you could fish size, you know, 14s to 22s, depending on what's on the water right now. I mean, listen, I go to work every day and I see stone flies flying around or like landing on like wood and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, like I need to be fishing. Like, screw this work stuff. This is terrible. But, you know, it's all what you can handle too. Like back in the day too, like I used to nymph a lot at night. I used to, you know, run like, you know, some like tandem rigs at night, you know, some Delaware stuff, some other water. And I mean, I was hooking into fish that I couldn't even handle on this light tippet. So, and it's kind of funny. I was just thinking about this the other day because I seen it sitting in my drawer, and I haven't done it actually in a while because I went to mousing instead. I went to fishing some, you know, big rodents on some heavy duty stuff, pulling some big fish. But, you know, it's like this like elastic stuff that I had gotten from Europe, and, you know, I would put it in as a, you know, as a basically a little, little suspension in between. It's like a little rubber band, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would hook these big fish and, you know, super, super light tippet on super small, you know, midges. You know, I'm talking 20 years ago, and it worked. I got a whole lot of knowledge, a whole lot of, you know, craziness. I flip back and forth like a little OCD or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, catching big, you know, big browns at night, catching just big fish at night, catch a steelhead during the day. But what it goes to is like, you kind of go out of your comfort zone. You're not fishing what you're used to fishing. You're fishing super light tippet, some small flies, and it's going to happen. I mean, even when I'm up north fishing, even big browns and, you know, October, November, like, you know, they're seeing the same shit all the time. They're seeing eggs and eggs, and I'm a huge egger. But I will also, when I'm not catching anything, and I know there's browns around, or especially in browns, you know, pools that I know there's browns, or, you know, corner, little areas, nooks and crannies where I know there's a huge brown, I can't see him. I know he's there. But I will resort to, you know, super light tippet, some crazy small stuff, and then, you know, you go from there. Then the battle, you know, once you hook one, then the battle's on. But one of my favorite things for up north, honestly, is fishing glass rods. So I fish a lot of Livingston rods. That's just, you know, my buddy Dusty, he makes some beautiful. He, you know, he's actually spinning rod, or he's spinning glass right now, or wrapping glass. So he does actually, he was making a lot of rods, and I just talked to him the other day, and he said that he, you know, he's really more now making blanks than anything. But a glass rod with big fish, like, instead of having to put like something in between, like I was doing, like, you know, these like rubber band things, like you can use light tippet and you can fight these fish on a glass rod, just because, you know, those light tips, it's a whole totally different ball game. And you know, you really can tire them out. You can tire them out pretty quickly, get them in, take a picture, get them back. They're healthy. Glass is a whole lot different than graphite. And I mean, even when I'm throwing streamers on the Delaware, I use a lot of glass. At night, I use glass. I do use some graphite when I'm in really tight areas with tall banks and stuff like that, just because it's faster and I can, you know, I can. It makes it a whole lot easier for me to throw some of these bigger rodents, let's say. One of my favorite rods is the Winston, I think it's the Alpha Plus, super great rod. You know, the lines make a difference. Like, it's crazy how far lines have became too. Like, back in the day, I used to make my own shooting heads, you know, 25, 27 years ago for steelheading. You know, now there's so many different lines you know, you can purchase. For me, like, one of the biggest differences from, you know, fishing rodents at night, I fish a lot of these, like Cortland, the streamer lines, like they just got a heavier head. I mean, you could just pick it up, put it out. It makes someone who doesn't even cast great look like a professional, and you get it done and you can catch some, you know, really nice fish. You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking 10-foot Cortland streamer tip, little sink tips, or 10-foot? Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, so right now it's just like I just used a Cortland streamer line. It's a, you know, I used the 8-weight. I'm using it on that Winston Alpha, and I mean, you know, you could put everything in the boat, bring it back a couple of times, and shoot it, and it's gone. It's like it's amazing. And where it really pays off for me is I fish a lot of tight water, and even with that, you know, with that head, you don't have to have the, you know, you don't have to have the whole head out. You can just, it just lays out nicely, you know, and mousing is, I mean, there's a whole, I mean, we could talk about mousing all night long, you know, like different, you know, theories and different, you know, stripping it back and, you know, if you're quartering up, quartering down, straight across, you know, it's like everybody's got their own philosophies. My philosophy is, listen, I listen to the fish. If I do something and it doesn't work, and I know there's fish, I know there's fish there, I'll go back and I'll do something different until I can get a fish to take, you know. It doesn't matter if it's quartered up, quartered down, swinging it, stripping it. Like, I will figure it out. And that eventually a fish will take.
That's a good strategy with fishing, right, in general. I don't care if you're talking chucking streamers and saltwater poppers for bass, mousing for trout, nymphing. If what you're doing isn't working, stop, change up, you know, change where you're standing, change your spot, change the angle, change the weight, change the retrieve. I just see so many people. That's a super common mistake people make. They just do the same thing for 2 hours straight with the same result.
100%. Like, I mean, I talk to a lot of guys and listen, they mouse and they do really well. And I mean, I fish, I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say I fish in pretty technical water, fish that I've seen a lot of different things. And, you know, in general, people ask me all the time, like, you know, what is your mousing strategy? And I'm like, it varies. It changes. You know, I go every night, it changes by the minute, honestly. Like, if I'll fish a pool, I'll fish it all the way through. Something doesn't work, I go back, try something different. You know, size of mouse, articulated, non-articulated, you know, swung, stripped, you know, quartered up, quartered down, straight across. Like, and you put a lot of time into it, but when you hit that fish that you've been looking for all night, that's where it pays off.
Part of cracking the code. I mean, I know, fishing with people at night kind of work as a team, like you said, articulated, non-articulated. I mean, you could be fishing an articulated and your buddy's fishing a non, and you're catching five fish to his every one. And it's not because you're in a better spot necessarily. If you go to the next spot, he's sticking with that and you're still pounding him on the articulated, and that's just doing better. There might be a few about like night fishing that you can say, like, as a starting point, okay, on darker nights, in general on lighter nights, and you might start somewhere, but you got to alter what you're doing. You got to think outside the box. You got to rifle
100%. And like, I mean, doesn't matter, the area of the fish in, the color of the mouse, if it's articulated or, straight up, still single hook. And, I've taken guys out and, fished right with them, and they outfished me, and they've never done it before. And it's only because, you can't, you can't call every move. You just got to be, changing and evolving and evolving every night. Like, it's not just like one night and you figure the game out. Every night you gotta, change. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I put on one mouse and I'll go through all night. That's all I use. And I do absolutely amazing. And, maybe if I changed it up a little bit, I would have got the fish of my life. But I didn't, just because what I'm doing works. But when it's working, it works. And if it's not, you got to change it up. And, sometimes color does pay, pay attention. I don't know, for me, I love to fish the darkest of nights. Some people are like, oh, my God, you got to fish on a full moon, like where you can see what's going on. And I'm like, no. Like, for me, from all the years I fished, the darker, the better. I don't want to see anything. I just want to hear that bloop, bloop, bloop. And when you hear that, toilet bowl flush, it's kind of like Atlantic salmon fishing. I just wait. That's probably, honestly, of all the consistent things for me is – you hear that fish blow up on a mouse, and then you can't like just set the hook. You gotta, for me, I wait until I feel the weight. When I feel the weight, I give a nice streamer set, and then usually it's game on. And that is, for me, one of the hardest things to do. And I've done it forever, but I'll fish with guys who they've picked it up. They know it, either from fishing with me or fishing by themselves, and they're just very, very good at it. Like, I still miss fish, and I'm not ashamed to miss it, and I've missed some big fish. But, some of the guys I fish with, they're very, very trained, and, they wait until they feel that weight, set the hook, and then it's game on, So,
for a beginner, you can tell them not to do it, and they do. It's just natural.
I tell myself not to do it, and sometimes it's very hard, very, very hard. But I mean,
when you were saying like how things change, night to night, people need to understand. Like, you could have clobbered them one night, and then the next night you go out and you don't do nearly as good. And you're like, well, what changed so much? Well, it's like, okay, the night before, was it overcast? Was it overcast? There was less light from the little bit of moon that was there, and then completely clear skies. Like, little things can have an impact.
No, I mean, honestly, some of the places I fished, there's houses on the river. If they got their fog lights on, like, you might as well just kiss it goodbye, because that pool's destroyed that night. If their lights aren't on because it's the middle of the week, you do very, very well, So it's, I mean, for me, one of the things I learned, the darker, the better. Some people say, dude, you're totally wrong, but I mean, I could scroll through my phone and show you a whole lot of, fish that most people will never see in a lifetime. So
Steve,
I'm gonna try to be cocky, but
what's your biggest fish mounting at night on public water?
My biggest fish, let's say on the Delaware, is almost 28 inches.
That's a big fish.
Other places that are public water, I have a 29. I don't, back in the day, I didn't really measure a lot of stuff. I mean, I may have had a 30, but listen, a 24 inch hefty brown, a lot of people will be like, oh my God, this is like a 26 to 27 inch, so it's like, unless you truly measure it, I got a very good idea of like inch wise, but at the same time, maybe back in the day, that 30 inch fish wasn't a 30 inch, but I know for a fact I've got measured 29 on a Delaware system. I've got almost a 28. Like someday maybe I'll be to 30, but the 28 I got is, it's obese. It's unreal how fat it is. Like I couldn't fit. I can't. I got pictures of it. I can't put both my hands around it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's
Do you
crazy.
use the giant landing net?
I use a pretty big net. Yep,
Yeah,
we do. We do.
that helps a lot. Now I remember back in the day you did a like kind of a Great Lakes steelhead Lake Run Brown little thing at Housatonic when I was there, and I remember talking to you, and you've caught some friggin' monster Lake Run fish. You showed me a picture of a 25-pound steelhead, a wild steelhead from the Canadian side of Lake Ontario, one of the
Yeah.
trips, won't name.
That
And
was 42
yeah,
inches.
and that thing was thick. I mean,
Yeah.
25 pounds and 42 inches, that was a thick male. And I think it had a little hump like on the
Oh.
back of its head
Oh
and
yeah. No, it's,
big
and
hook.
it looked like a it look it looks like a British Columbia fish, but it's from Lake Ontario.
And what did you get that on an egg fly?
It was either, at this point, it was either an egg or a black stone.
Right. I remember.
But
I think I remember you told me you caught it on a 10-foot 7 weight and like 2x tippet, something like that,
it,
or.
yeah, it, well, that I know, I do know that that fish came from where. So some of my favorite places to fish are where tributaries enter the main creek, and usually there's a huge like corner pool, or there's a back eddy, and that's where that fish came from. And I've caught many a fish in that same exact spot because of that particular reason. Like at some point they're going to run that creek to spawn, or they're lining up to go, further up the system. But, during the day, those fish, they're sitting in that, deep water, they're feeding, they're just hanging out, doing their thing. And then at night, I guarantee they run these small creeks to spawn. But during the day, they back out and they sit in these huge pools. And if you fish them, if you fish them a lot and you fish them hard, you're gonna get some big fish. And that's, I mean, it's not the only big fish I got out of that particular pool. Like over the years, I've gotten some slammers, but 42 inches is my biggest steelhead ever.
That's a tough one to beat out of the Great Lakes. Was that a spring
Yeah.
or a fish?
That's a spring fish.
Spring fish.
Yep.
I know. Do you go to the? I know you used to like to go to Canada in like April or May and spend like a week or two out there fishing, hitting the Canadian side. You still like to do that when you get the chance?
So I mean, basically the Canadian spring steelhead starts the fourth Saturday every year. It's like guaranteed like clockwork. It just depends on basically it depends on the winter, if it's a hard winter or a light winter, how many fish are going to be around. And it's like years of experience like doing it in creeks. I mean, over the years I've built relationships with people on private creeks and stuff too, that I go up there. And I mean, I haven't been up there actually in a while because of COVID and all that crazy shit. But over the years, I mean, I still can make phone calls and get permission to fish on private creeks where there's not as much pressure. But honestly, one of my favorite creeks is one of the bigger ones, and it sees tons and tons of pressure, but they don't fish like we fish down here in the US. There's way more center pinning, there's way less flies and stuff, and honestly, I can stand next to some guys that center pin and I'll fish them with a fly, and I know a lot of guys will be like, that's bullshit. But when I originally started going to Canada, fly fishing was not big at all. And we used to fish against guys who were fishing bait and stuff like that. And, we'd outfish them, 10-1, and they'd be like, "What are you using?" I'd be like, "Here's this little fly we're using." And they'd be like, "Oh my God." I'd give them one and they'd fish it actually underneath the float, and they'd hook up instantly, and they'd be like, "Oh my God." They were like firm believers, like almost instantly. It was great. But we're talking 20 years ago too,
I remember you used to use a lot of trout nymphs, basically, I would say. We were talking about a salmon river, usually around late morning, especially if you're up in like the fly zones, those fishing starts to slow down. And you said that's when you bust out some like little flashback, pheasant tails, hares, ears, drop your tippet down and
100%. Well, I
everything.
mean, Whit, right? Whit and I would go up to Canada and just like hammer away at these fish, and fish, totally stuff that wasn't steelhead related, and absolutely do amazing. But I mean, things have changed up there as well. Like, people have definitely upgraded. There's way more fly fishermen. There used to be more float dudes and pinners and stuff like that. But as the years went on, there's definitely way more fly fishermen. So they have seen a lot more variety of flies and stuff. But usually the tougher it gets, the lighter the tippet I go, the smaller the flies. And the thing is that then once you hook a big fish is controlling
I
them.
mean, when you hook a steelhead, for those of you who haven't done it, it's like opening a can of whoop ass. I mean, even just a cookie cutter 2-year-old, like 6, 7 pound steelhead is just an unbelievable fighter. And when they start getting like 12 plus pounds, they get really, really hard to land, especially on what is, even with normal tackle, it's still relatively light tackle given the size of the fish, that you're hooking. Now, Steve, I know you're like a lake run brown trout fanatic. I know that's one of your absolute, that's probably your favorite lake run fish, correct? Those big.
No, 100%. Listen, I love them all. I mean, I love the big browns. I love the big domestic rainbows. I love steelhead. But I mean, when you got a 34-inch, brown with a kipe, and it's a big fat butter ball with beautiful dots and clean fins, and an adipose fin that's the size of your thumb. I mean, you just can't beat it. I mean, I'm a ground guy. I mean, if I'm fishing my local waters, unless I'm catching big brookies, I love big brookies. I fish Adirondacks a lot. I fish, actually where I grew up, as a young child, I had the opportunities to catch some absolutely amazing, wild, huge brookies. Those brookies are no longer there just because the way society has gone and building and fishing pressure. Like, they've either been killed or they just don't, they disappear, but besides brookies, I can't, beat a big brown, like a big butter ball, wild brown, or even a Lake Ontario football run brown. Like, something about it, you get those huge fins,
You showed me a picture of what was then your best lake run. I want to say it was like 22 pounds. Yeah, have you ever topped that, or is that still your top lake run?
My biggest lake run brown is 36. I have a 36 female and I have a 36 male. 36-inch male I caught maybe 2 years ago, but I mean, the girth is just unreal. I mean, I'm sure people will catch longer ones, but this is a true measured 36. Forget what the girth was. It was, incredible. The kipe was incredible. The color was incredible. As clean as could be. I mean, made my day,
Did you
that's for sure.
that on light tackle or a little heavier or a streamer or nymph? What'd you get that on?
That was that was egging, but you know, like maybe 8 pound, 6 pound, you know, tippet. I don't remember, but I do remember it's probably actually 6 pound because it was pressured water. A lot of people fish in the pools. You know, me just fishing nooks and crannies like I usually do. Like I don't, getting older, I don't want to get up early. I, you know, let these guys get there, get into the pools, and then I just cruise along and, you know, have a good pair of, you know, sight fishing glasses on. This fish actually wasn't sight fished at all. It was in a deeper, you know, cut. Of course, you know, I knew there would be fish there because they're getting pushed out of the, you know, out of the pools because there's so much pressure in the morning and 10 o'clock, these fish are moving, you know, they're trying to move along, get out of the, you know, the cannonballs and stuff like that. And, you know, I hooked it, landed it. It's definitely a good defeat. Some guy that I didn't even know landed it. He was like, oh my God, this thing's like absolutely massive. I was like, just glad that you did a good net job because, yeah, this is definitely an amazing fish, you know?
Yeah, for those people who don't know, a 36-inch fat Lake-run male brown could be pushing mid-20s, you know, on male scale. They're just, the girth on those Lake-run browns can be ridiculous. You know, I've seen 30-inch fish that weighed 15, 16 pounds. I mean,
100%. Listen, once you get over that 30-inch mark, and it's kind of funny too, like over the years too, like I tell all these guys I fish with and stuff too, like, you know, for the longest time it was 28 inches. Like if you could be 28 inches for years, I mean, it was years. Like if you could be 28 inches, that was my people I take out, all that, you know, just tons of people. They'd be like, what do you consider a trophy fish? And I'd be like 28 inches. And then it went to 30, then it went to 32. And then
No.
it was like 33. And honestly, like now it's like 34. Like every year I catch a handful of 34s. The guys I take out catch 34s. Sometimes they keep them to have mounted. Sometimes they just take pictures and measurements and, you know, have reproductions done of them. But, you know, at this point, it's still for me like 36 inches is my measured. No guessing, like girth wise, I don't know. I usually just measure them quick and
Yeah, if you get
put them back in there and let them swim. But
you get the
36 for me to beat.
you get the girth, there's some pretty good formulas. I got a really good one that'll give you to the weight, and it's very, very close. I've weighed them and measured them, and it usually comes out to perfect match. You know, another thing, Steve, I know you've done a lot of cool, bigger articulated nymphs. You know, stoneflies would be the obvious one. I know you've done shit like helgramites. You and I have talked, you've done dragonfly nymphs. You fish on a certain river that I won't name. And if my memory serves me correctly, I'll just say it's in the Catskills. And you caught I think you said you caught your PB out of that river. It was like 26 or 27 on an articulated dragonfly nymph, which is something people probably never think about fishing dragonfly patterns in a trout stream. Why don't you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it's just that whole like marginal water thing, you know. Like dragonflies are huge. I mean, even in, you know, even Freestone Creeks, like some of my favorite Freestone Creeks, like, you know, June and stuff like that, like there's just absolutely amazing dragonfly hatches. Like you got to be there on that particular day to see it going on, but when it's going on, it will blow your mind because you've never seen anything like it. And those fish are keyed in on it. But you know, in my experience, you know, you got hatches, you got time frames for hatches, but fish don't forget like a huge meal. So even when, you know, I'll fish a dragonfly, you know, nymph when other people aren't, and I actually do very well on it. But you know, it's like kind of funny too with the, so say cicadas, right? I love cicadas because people question me all the time. I love tying cicadas. I love working with foam. I love, you know, tying big dirty flies. And you know, people are like, yeah, but cicadas, first of all, people have no idea, honestly, of the cicada cycle. So they always question me. I'm like, hey, listen, cicadas are around every year. Sometimes it's a different strain, but at my place where I live right now, I can guarantee you I will see cicadas every year. They may not be big numbers, but there's cicadas around. And if you know, fish a creek, where those fish have seen a cicada or seen a dragonfly nymph. You know, like these are, we're talking big meals. Like they don't forget about it. And if you present it properly in front of them, it doesn't even have to be like, it don't really have to make any rhyme or reason, no sense, no time frame. These fish don't forget it. They're like, oh my God. They're like, dude, here goes one of these dragonfly nymphs. Here goes a cicada on a surface. And they just come up and they take it. Like there's no question about it. Like they're going to take it because it's too good to be true. And it's kind of cool because it goes against all the rules and all the, you know, shit you read in the magazines and books and stuff. But I mean, I throw some whack job stuff and these fish absolutely go berserk. And when they go berserk, usually they're a pretty big fish. And, you know, it's fun because I pull in some stuff and people are just like, even the guys I fish with, like I can fish with some great guys in my boat. Like, dude, you're nuts. What are you doing? And next thing you know, I pull in a 25-inch brown, and they're like, oh, like, all right, maybe I won't question you again, or, you know, like, maybe I'll follow suit, you know? Like, it's just fun stuff, you know? And it doesn't matter, like I said, if it's topwater cicadas or, you know, subsurface, you know, dragonfly nymphs or, you know, huge fucking ISOs. Like, I fish ISOs. They're big, heavy, like, stuff you don't see in a fly shop, stuff you don't hear people talk about, but, you know, it works. Like a big old, heavy, articulated ISO, like some of my biggest rainbows and, you know, systems that don't have a ton of rainbows, like, you know, more browns, but some of the rainbows I pulled on these ISOs, because rainbows are, you know, an ISO to rainbows for me is like crack. Like, they just love them. Like, they're going to be all over them. It's fun.
You know, that fast water, probably, which is probably why.
Yeah, fast water strip back to shore, or just, you know, as an anchor fly. Like, I mean, yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah.
Like, people just don't, I mean, I don't know, people just don't fish them, or they don't fish them like I do, or they just don't go into the areas, you know, where I fish. But, I mean, in all honesty, most of the nymphs I fish are on the bigger side. Like, people will fish with me, and they'll be like, dude, you're like BWO nymph. It's like huge. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, I don't know, especially in particular, you know, particular systems, people would be like, dude, like you should be fishing like a size like 20 or something like that. And I'm fishing like a size 12 or 14. It's huge. Big old, you know, tungsten head. And I'm getting down there and, you know, I'll catch some big wild, you know, browns, or getting some big real rainbows, and they're like, it don't make sense. I'm like, hey, listen, sometimes it doesn't make sense, but the thing is I've put the time in. I've fished smaller stuff that's natural size stuff, and then, you know, I play around because I tie a lot, you know. I play, you know, so, you know, some creeks, it's all big stuff. So I put some big stuff on. All of a sudden, I'm like, holy shit, like, these fish, for whatever reason it is, they like big stuff. And it blows people's minds. I'm like, you know, I guide them. They fish next to me. They're like, I can't believe that these fish are taking a size, you know, 14, 16, like, blue wing olive with a huge tungsten head on it. Like, I'm like, hey, listen, just fish it hard, and, you know, kind of, you know, fish those seams, and it blows their minds. But it goes, I like to fish, in general, I like to fish stuff that goes against all rules, and it pays off, honestly.
You must do crayfish too, I'm sure, huh? Because that would be another big bucket, would be right up your alley.
Crayfish are probably my, besides tying mice, crayfish are my second favorite fly to tie. I tie, you know, just tons and tons of different patterns, you know, some very similar patterns, but same thing, you know, like I'll use them as an anchor fly. I'll tie them like super, super, super heavy just to get my flies down. Sometimes the fly gets eight. Other times I, you know, throw them by themselves, super heavy fly right off the bank in a, you know, some of the creeks that you and I fish. Like I know I fish some of the creeks that you fish, and, you know, right off the bank, like it just steep drops, heavy crayfish patterns, like not even use them as an anchor pattern. I'm like stripping them back, but they're sinking quick. Big rainbows, huge browns, like it's fun.
Crayfish question. Do you tend to think of crayfish patterns in two categories, like more like stripping patterns and dead drift patterns?
Yeah, so I mean, I got stuff that I strip back. I got stuff that I use as anchor flies, kind of some stuff that I like swing. You know, I mean, definitely, like my crayfish selection is more like a average person's nymph selection. Like I got definitely three different weights, if not more. You know, I just I tie for fun, so it's like, you know, I tie for fun, and then you figure out what works, that produces. I love marabou claws. You know, I love, just different techniques and stuff for tying claws and shell backs. I love like Duraskin. Like, there's just like some stuff that adds a little bit extra detail, but sometimes that extra detail is what makes all the difference in the world. Like, I've grown to love the Duraskin. Like, big browns can be a simple crayfish pattern. It can be a detailed crayfish pattern, but that Duraskin on that back, it's got like that little detailed skin, and they love it. Like, it always does very, very well.
Another question.
And I love foam too. Like, so sometimes I'll do some foam claws, for my nymph patterns. Like I play around with a ton of foam. Like I love articulated nymphs with, like foam tails to get that tail up, and just wagging in the water kind of thing. Like, especially with dragonfly patterns, like even in fast, like stuff where you wouldn't even think it would work. Like, you just toss it out there in fast water. You're drifting along in a drift boat or a raft, and you're kind of almost like high sticking it through, but the tail is up, the head is down. And places, I mean, I fish with guys that fish this water like day after day, and I still can hook. I roll up there and I throw this thing on, and they're like, "Dude, what the fuck are you using? Like, you hooked a fish. I haven't hooked a fish here in ever." I'm like, "Hey, it's all about the action of the fly. Like, I don't even have to really work the fly that much, but the fly does it itself." So, I mean, there's all kinds of
You
stuff.
find with
Like,
the
some people be like, "Dude, this guy's talking out his ass." Like, but I mean, I like to catch fish. I like to catch big fish, and my phone has so many pictures of big fish on it that most people wouldn't even believe me until you see it. If you're a close friend, you're like, "Yep, this guy ain't talking shit."
with dragon, so we do a lot of sight nymphing with dragonfly larvae, or that's I love doing that. I mean, and not just like nymphing water, like the riffly stuff, like a lot
Oh,
of cases, like dry fly water,
100%. And
like
that's
sight
kind of what I
nymphing,
was getting at
like
there. Like I was saying,
no.
like, like most people don't, most people don't like equate like fast water dragonflies. Like, most people like, yeah, we're talking marginal water, we're talking deep pools, like muddy bottoms and this and that. Like, no, like honestly, like I run, like I was saying too, like articulated ones with like some foam tails and stuff where you get the tail up, or it's actually, I will have the hook up, head down with like I do love those spawn like oval football heads. Like, those things are great. You can put a lot of weight in a really small section of a fly, get it where you need it to be. Kind of looks, I like the look of the football head. But I will run them through a ton of fast water too, and like you said, like most people do not think of like dragonflies or damselflies being in that fast water. It's all like slow water. It's like, no, man. Like, dude, these fish are, even if they're not there, even if they're coming out of like a slow water pool, but they're going through that fast water, those fish are picking them up. Like, and that's where it goes to, like a big meal. Like, these fish do not forget what a big meal is. It doesn't matter if it's a cicada or a damselfly or a mouse or, what it is. These brute fish are keyed in on patterns, and if you put it in their spot at the right time or when they're hungry. Like, they're gonna take it no matter what. It doesn't matter, like, if there's any, like, they have ne might never seen a cicada in a year, but if they see that cicada pattern and they remember it, it's on. And these big meals, they do remember. And that's, I think that's like, it goes, with the whole nocturnal thing too. Like, these guys, I don't know, to me, like, people like, no, they eat dry flies and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, the fish that I catch at night don't eat dry flies to me. And I have killed some fish on accident, and I have actually kept them. I have gutted them and filleted them out, and they have mice, they have crayfish, they got stuff. They don't have dry flies in their stomach. Like, I mean, I got picture.
These fish on our system, we'll see giant fish blasting. They're not eating the dry flies. They're eating the small fish that are eating the dry flies because the small preoccupied by feeding, and the alpha fish go around and
A
blast
hundred
these
percent.
small fish.
And
They don't.
I mean, it really is amazing too. Like, like, most people are like, well, at night when you're fishing, like, how many of these fish actually really are eating mice? Are they eating frog? And listen, frogs are another unforgotten pattern at night. But, they're like, do they really know what they're eating? And my answer is yes, they actually do know what they're eating. Like, they do know what the movement of a rodent, the movement of a amphibian, a frog. They do know the texture of them. And, like, for me, like, one of the things I think with the flies I tie too is they are very natural. Like, they're tied out of foam and fur. So, when they do bite them, they kind of latch onto them because, or they come back, they stun them. Like, listen, the whole mousing thing is a whole nother gig, but they'll stun them and they'll come back and then they'll bite onto them because they do feel natural. So I think the fish do, I think they do know what they're taking. I mean, when you say you're mousing, like I said, like, some fish do not make it. Like, they go belly up. Honestly, I have no problem keeping them. And, I do a little autopsy on them. I see what they're eating. I fillet them out, eat them. My friend will eat them, whatever. But you do get to see what they're eating. And some of the, like, I have pictures of my mouse against a mouse that's in a belly, and it's almost the same exact, like, shape, size, color. You really can't gather because they're pretty, slimed up. But I mean, it is pretty crazy,
How many days a year do you fish, Steve?
I mean, I fish at least half a year. Like, I mean, given, like,
That's
I don't know offhand, but I fish every chance I can get. But I will tell you that every time I go out fishing, I try to put I put the odds in my favor. Like, so when I go steel, like, back in the day, like, I don't steelhead, let's say, as much as I used to. But, my daughter's 13 years old. I have a wife and all this stuff. I have a different job. I work my ass off. But, for me, like, even like this year, like, I pick and I chose when I guide it, when I went out steelheading, when I went for browns. For browns, there's, I mean, listen, there's just those couple weeks in a year that I know that I can go and hammer away on them. I line up my guide trips for those particular weeks. Just recently for steelhead, like, this year has been crazy. I mean, it's been, like, super warm. Nothing has iced over. Like, I just went out to Erie with some guys. These guys have been bugging me for years to go out to Erie, and I'm like, ah, listen, I spent years over in Erie, and it's a fucking crazy game. But, like, over the years, conditions haven't been perfect. This year I was like, oh, you know what? These conditions look really, really good right now. I said, let's go. So last week we went out there and we absolutely did amazing. But I haven't been out to, I haven't been out to Erie in years. I miss it. I'm glad I went back. I fished some of these old haunts that I had that, like, no one fishes. Like, I just very, very fortunate to have time on my hands and just explore and explore and explore and explore. Run into good friends that I still talk to this day. I could call them up at the fucking drop of a hat, and I'm like, hey. And this is what social media don't get you, you know? Like, I ran into these guys on the creek. I can call my buddy Adam. I can say, hey, Adam, you know what's going on? Or he'll text him, message him, and he's like, hey, yeah, this creek's doing good. That creek's doing good. So it works out in my favor. I mean, we had a blast. I went out with three other dudes, myself, had a great time. We fished some Lake Ontario trips on the way over. I did a fly show over in Buffalo, and we had a good time. You know, this year's been a good year for Steelhead. Light winter. Old guys. I mean, I don't really want to fish in some crazy weather, so it's been like really fun and light, and the fish have been active. So, I mean, I've been up to the Salmon River two, three times this year, which I haven't been up to. I just haven't steelhead like I used to. I used to be a beast, and this year I've got back into it, and I've showed a lot of guys, some fun stuff. So it was good.
Like part of the escalation of getting older and fishing. It's like, don't kid yourself. When Steve said, he can roll out at 10 a.m. to some of these spots and do what he's got to do and catch fish, he put in thousands and thousands and thousands of hours to get to that point to where he can fish smart instead of often now. So when you're young and you're getting out there, you fish as much as you can. Every waking hour you go out and fish, so
100%.
you can get to the point that Steve, where you fish smart instead of hard. But that's not going to happen
Yeah,
until
man,
you're our
honestly,
age.
I can't do it anymore. I cannot fish. I'm 47, and I mean, I'm 47 still sounds young, but let me tell you, like, back in the day, there was nothing getting into my way of getting to a pool of fresh browns or steelhead that, I mean, I'd be there all night. And listen, I'm still crazy. I'll do some crazy shit, but I don't do it like I used to. Like, I like, it takes it. It's, for me, it was like, get the job done. Now I'm like, have fun. Like, I like to go out. I don't need to catch as many fish. I still catch big fish. I don't catch as many fish, but at the same time, at the end of the day, I like to go out. I like to have a burger. I like the beers. The camaraderie. Like, like you said, it's a ongoing kind of cycle.
The whole experience.
Don't get me wrong, I still get crazy. Like, if you're like, yo, let's. When it comes to mousing, most people are like, dude, you're fucking nuts. Like, I go out, I fish all night. I fish from 9 o'clock till 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Come home, I maybe sleep a couple hours, and I go to work. Most people will not do that,
You
but
you
I that 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 is an exception for me, because I know there is that time frame for me to catch those big fish.
Find there's a few different bite windows at
Yeah,
night.
100%. Like, sometimes it's like 9 to 1. Sometimes after 1, nothing happens. But that kind of, for me, that's kind of like, for my experience, 9 to 1 is if I stay in one pool. After that, I might as well pack it up and go home. If I'm doing a float, the float, you're hitting different pools and you're doing this and you're doing that. So it can totally last all night long. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. But you gotta be in it to win it. You know what I'm saying? And not every night it happens, but most nights I catch a fish that probably is bigger than most people will see in a lifetime, and that's what I'm chasing. I'm chasing that crazy, crazy fish. I love when people fish my miles, and they're like, oh my God, like. I used to miss fish. Like, I go out and I'd, have 12 blow-ups and get like two fish or a fish, and I use your mouse, and now I got like 10 out of 12. I'm like, that's what I'm striving for. Like, I'm the more fish I could put in a net, the bigger chance is that I'm gonna put a big one in the net. You know, I'm or the greater chances I'm gonna put a big one in the net. So the more hookups, you know, the better opportunities I have to, you know, get that big one a night. And I mean, I don't know. I'm happy with what I got in my box. Like, not trying to blow my own horn, but I love it. It works.
How many times at night? We talked about, you know, obviously some of the big fish you've gotten at night, but what about those nights where you had a fish that was just absolutely enormous, just open up a hole, and you're waiting and nothing, and you're waiting for it to track it down and nothing, and that fish will just haunt you for the pure sound of the flush that went down.
Or you're floating at night, and I mean, we do use lights to see where we're going sometimes, because, you know, listen, you can know a river like the back of your hand, but you're floating through a pool, you got a headlamp out, and let me tell you, like, some of the fish I've seen underneath a headlamp at night, we're not looking. I mean, of course you're always like looking, but you're floating along. Some of these fish that we've seen, a mind-boggling, like, I would have never ever guessed that these fish were in these spots. Would have never ever guessed that these fish were that big, and some of these fish are just enormous. And then, you know, like, some of the toilet bowl flushes that you just didn't expect, like, it play like places I didn't expect, and I totally, you know, missed the fish, or, you know, like I said, screw myself and set it way too early. Don't wait for the weight, kind of thing. Just because it's, you know, it's mind-boggling. Like, I mean, it's like a, it sounds like a beaver smashing its tail, but I know it's not a beaver because I haven't seen a beaver in that area. Or you know, all of a sudden you're like, dude, hit the headlight. Like, what's going on? Is there a beaver here? No beavers. You know, but besides that kind of stuff, I mean, I've missed a lot of big fish, and I've had fish on that will haunt me for the rest of my life. And I, you know, and I know what pools they're in. I go back, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you do get them, sometimes you don't. But I know they're there. And I mean, when you get them up next to that boat or raft or whatever, and you're like, holy shit, this is a monster, and last minute it does a crazy, you know, shake and swims away, you're just like, holy smokes. But I don't know, you know, it's, you know, at the same time, like, some of the fish I've caught, I'm like, just, you know, thank God, like, no one knew this fish was in there. That, you know, even some of the most pressured water, like, you're like, holy shit, like, this fish is 25 inches long. Like, this thing isn't eating dry flies, and if it does, like, you know, like, it doesn't have like torn up mandibles or anything. Like, it's got like a clean mouth. You know, like, it hasn't been hooked very many times, that's for sure, you know.
You ever done
Yeah,
any
no,
baby
I
ducks?
listen, baby.
Yeah, the day I made
I do.
saw you,
Baby
I'm like,
duck, like, I fish all kinds of crazy shit. Baby ducks, you know, frogs. Like I said, frogs are a
is
forgotten one. Like, frogs are amazing. Like, and, you know, like I said, you know, like, a mouse and a frog totally swims differently. But, you know, I'll go through a pool and I'll fish a frog one way, and then I go back, I'll fish it another, same way with a mouse. And, you know, you hope at, you know, some point that, you know, you're doing something right, that a big fish will commit and take it. And when you're fishing at night, that's a, you know, whole nother thing. Like, you really can't see what's going on. You just got to go by knowledge. You got to go by feel, sound. You know, sometimes a fish will come up, hit a fly, and that's it. And if you just let it sit there, it will come back, you know, and hit it again. You know, they come up, they stun rodents. And if you're good enough to let it sit there, or give it a couple little strips and wiggle it and let it sit there like it's injured, they'll come back and they'll take it, because, you know, that's It's just the way they're playing the game. You know, they just want to stun it, come back and eat it. And if you know, if you can put that knowledge together. Sometimes one of my favorite things that most people don't do is I fish tandem flies. I fish one of my mice I tie. It's got a body hook. The surgical tail has actually a micro swivel in it, and from that micro swivel, I'll go 6 inches or so to a small. You know, I'll fish a standard, and then I fish like a micro emperor, and sometimes that makes all the difference in the world. You know, like it's not hard to throw 7 weight, 8 weight, whatever you want to do. You probably honestly, some people do it with a 5 weight, but you know, you throw this tandem out there, and they come up, they hit the big mouse, and you just twitch a little bit or strip it real slow, and they come up and they hit the small mouse in the ass end, and it's game on, you know. But that you know, the emperor with the you know micro swivel coming out of the tail, and you know I don't when I'm fishing mice and I'm fishing tandem, I don't like go from you know the crook of the hook to the you know eye of the next hook. I like to put a micro swivel in that tail, and it makes all the difference in the world, especially if you hook a big fish. Like you hook that fish, she's on. Like it ain't coming off. You got to hook from the crook to the you know eye of the next eye of the next hook. Sometimes you lose them, but with that little micro swivel, you know it just turns and it spins, and they just can't throw that hook.
Very cool. Tori, you got any other questions or I'm
I
gonna
didn't
scroll
see.
through
I've been
here,
looking. I
but
haven't really seen it. I think everybody's just been hanging on the dialogue and just been entertained and interested. Yeah, you know, one last question, and then we'll let you go. You're a high stick nympher from way back before your own nymphing for steelhead. I mean, I've done, you know, spay and indie and all that other shit. But I know you and I have done a lot of high stick steelhead nymphing in the past. How did you incorporate or the whole Euro stuff into your fishing, both for Great Lakes fish and also regular trout? I'm sure that must have impacted the way you fish and the way you think about things. I know it did for me.
You know, so like you were saying, like, you know, like I've always, like, there's all these names, you know, different flies and stuff like that. You know, for me, I mean, I call it like high sticking or tight lining. I became, as a, you know, actually, I mean, one of the things that really dialed me in onto, you know, doing it well was the Great Lakes because, you know, when I egg or have a fish in a nymph, you know, I mean, pretty much it's the same game as if I'm fishing, you know, for, you know, I'm fishing a run in my local stream and I think there's a big brown there, you know, like, I mean, I'm fishing tip downstream. I'm always like, I'm not going to say I'm dragging the flies, but I'm keeping it tight. I got a nice angle. I can actually see what's going on. I can feel it. And, you know, like my good friend Whit. Like he was like, dude, you got that sixth sense. Like, you know, like I know, like I could be standing right next to you and I kind of know when that, I know it's going to happen. I'm like, yep, set the hook. Most people are like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I got a fish on or whatever, you know? And it's like, it just happens. Like, doesn't matter if I'm fucking steelheading or, you know, fishing for big browns or rainbows or whatever. But when you got that, you know, you guys know when you got that sense, like, and, you know, if it doesn't happen right off the bat, like you'll fish a run and you'll feel you know something's going on. You feel a little something, and you're like, okay, listen, that's the honey hole. Like when I go through there, I'm just gonna start to raise the rod, and chances are that's where that fish is. He's been hitting. I just been missing him. And then you go through and you're like, that's where it's happening, boom, and you got a fish on. So it's kinda like I don't know, it's like that sixth sense, like I just know what's gonna happen. And it doesn't matter if I'm fishing like the Niagara for Lakers or like I love fishing the Niagara for Lakers because it's like one of those crazy places. Like, you know, people fish next to me and they're like, dude, you hook 20 of these fish in a morning or whatever, you know, a couple hours and stuff. And they're like, how do you do it? It's like this big river, blah, blah, blah. But you know, I'm like, yo, listen, it's not it's it goes right back to you know, fishing like a small run in your trout stream. It's all about having that sixth sense. Like, I know it's gonna happen. I felt it, and I know there's fish there. They're eating, and it's crazy because when you actually get, when the water's clear and low, and you're actually fishing to the fish, you get to observe stuff that most people don't. Most people are like crazy excited, like, hey, and I get the same way too, like, hey, listen, there's a huge steelhead in front of me or a huge brown. You're fishing to it, and you're getting overly excited, and you're setting the hook and whatever. Maybe you spoon feed it or whatever, but when you let it naturally do its thing, and you watch the fish move for your fly, or you're like, dude, my fly is going straight to it, and you just watch the fish open up its mouth, and your egg goes in, and you're way late on a set, and the fish just closes its gills like. Pop open and the egg shoots out of its mouth, like it's wild to watch that happen because it happens with nymphs, it happens with eggs, it happens with I'm sure streamers too. Even if you're like dead drifting a streamer through, like if that fish senses something wrong, I mean all he's got to do is close his mouth and it shoots the, your fly out of its mouth like a rocket. But if you have that sixth sense and you know that there's fish down there. You're in the zone, and it's just like one of those natural things. You're just like setting a hook. Like you get way more fish, and I mean they're legit fish. Like you've actually fooled that fish before he even has the thought to like determine if it's real or fake. And I think that's where I do really well. And people who have fished, all types of people who have fished next to me, they're like, dude, you're like nuts, man. Like you hook a lot of fish. I'm like. And I'm not sight fishing them at all. It's just that it's gonna happen. Like you're like, yep, there he is, And I think that's where these guys that fish competition too, like that's where they really excel. Like they know absolutely where these fish are gonna take. They know they know that they're on the hook before the fish even knows it's on the hook,
Yeah, totally. It's having that kind of fight in the draft. Even when you're teaching people, you'll tell them they made 15 bad drafts. Not bad, but they're trying to acquire the ability to make a good drift. And, on drift number 17, you see that they made the right cast, they're making the proper drift. They're coming to the zone where the fish should be, and you're like, okay, it's a fishy drift. It's like he's gonna eat right here, and
Exactly.
it's bink right away. Like, how
And
did
but
you drift
you
it?
know like the
You know,
funny
like,
part though is you can see it in the line too. Like, the line if the
yeah, oh
line
yeah.
for me if the line is not tight downstream, like you're not gonna feel it. You're not gonna see it. If you got that perfect drift where you're like, I'm not gonna you to me I call it leading the flies. Like you kind of lead the flies and. You will see it. I mean, you'll see a little jerk or a little hesitation. You feel it. But when I'm guiding a lot, I see, people just get lazy. Like, if you're not on them all the time, and sometimes it's kind of shitty as a guide. You're like, hey, listen, you need to cast upstream. You need to, mend it. You need to get tight. You need to bring a rod tip downstream. Like you're constantly like on them, but people get really lazy. And listen, when you're lazy, you don't catch fish. When you're being on point, that's when you catch those fish. And I mean, I see it too, like guiding. I'm like, hey guys, listen, I'm not trying to be a, an asshole, but you gotta listen kind of what I say. If you do, you're gonna catch fish. If you don't, then you're not. Especially like I love fishing like high, not stained water, but especially up in the Great Lakes. I love high water. Like high water brings those fish in. It's like a field day, but you have to be on point. Like you gotta be on your guys. And when I'm on them, like at the end of the day, it's amazing. They're like, oh my God, my arms are tired. When you're sitting there drinking a beer, eating some burgers, like, dude, I caught 20 fish. You're like, yeah, that's right, because you stayed on point. If you were
Yeah,
lazy,
work.
you would have maybe had half of those fish or maybe a third of those fish. And
Right.
to me, that equates to niffing. Like, listen, I get lazy too. Like, I'll be on a fucking creek and I'm like, holy smokes, like, I'm like, I know there's fish here. Like, why am I'm not catching these fish? Like, why not? And you're like, oh, you got a little bit, too much belly in your line, or you're just not, I'm just not on point. Like, and then all of a sudden, like, you go into that like high alert and you're like, all right, I gotta get this done. And the next thing you know, you're catching fish, and sometimes really big fish.
Yep. Right on. Well, hey, we're gonna cut this before we get booted, because we get usually around X amount of time, and we wanna save this. But we wanna thank you
Oh,
so
thanks
much
for
for
having me.
coming
Sorry,
on.
I mean, it took me a little bit to get on here, but I'm glad that you guys waited up for me. I'm not very,
It helps.
savvy when it comes to technology.
No, it's just, well, now you know. Next time we go to have you on, it'll
Hey,
be super easy.
perfect. I
So,
thank you for having me on, guys. It's been good for sure.
yeah, have a great night. For those interested in any of Steve's patterns, hit him up, direct message,
Envision
and
Flyworks on Instagram. That's how you contact.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Hey,
All right, buddy.
Lines.
Have a great night.
Take
Bye.
care.